It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Andy Yannacco, Renee Ritchie, and Alex Lindsay are here. We're going to have a great time talking about the new Apple file system, talking about Swatch stealing Apple's thunder, and a great site where you can see all the old Apple videos and why you may soon be getting a 15-cent check in the mail. It's all coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 554, recorded Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. Twit different. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Capterra. Capterra helps you find and compare solutions for your business needs with over 400 software categories from app development to web analytics. Visit capterra.com/twit to start your free search today. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you could post to 200-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Use Rocket Mortgage for a transparent, trustworthy home loan process that's completely online at QuickenLoans.com/MacBreak. Time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Apple. Wow, it was an exhausting week last week. It's going to calm down a little bit this week. There's nothing to say. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to Andy Yannacco of the Chicago Sun-Times and the Celestial Waste of Bandwidth, CWOB.com, wearing his exclusive Pixar cap.
Yes, it really should say on the back that, hey, this hat proves I know someone who works at Pixar.
Right. I got this at the company store that no one can go to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, welcoming Renee Ritchie. iMore, the new iMore yellow.
See, I'm wearing the invisible hat from Pixar. It's so exclusive. It's from The Incredibles. It's really comfortable.
No. The ultimate one is just like a green ping pong ball on your forehead because they're just going to motion track you and put in the right hat later.
But the problem is when everybody has one, nobody has one.
And look, it's Alex Lindsay. He's at the beautiful...
I prefer the Pixar visor.
Yeah.
That you can't see.
He probably worked at Pixar.
I'm still rendering it.
Oh, yeah. I did the specular highlights on the cowboy's hat.
He's using a Mac Pro, so the rendering will be done sometime next year.
Yeah. It's,
ouch.
Exactly.
Were you here last week? Yeah, you were, Alex. So you got
I
to,
was.
You got to comment on that all. The foo-fa-ra. What's nice is... The transcript from that event was released by who did that? Was
Matthew Panzerino?
Panzerino from TechCrunch did that.
Yeah.
So that's nice. So we can actually see what everybody said at the event last week. But I think unless you guys have some additional thoughts, we don't need to go back into it. But here we are a week later from this, and this had just broken when we started the show last week. This briefing with the five.
That hair. That
announcing
flawless.
That Apple screwed up the Mac Pro. Any additional thoughts now that you've read the transcript?
Well, I just know that I've waited a week and I haven't seen a new Mac Pro yet, so I'm a little
not this year.
One down, 53 to go.
Exactly. Could be even more. And I don't know what you guys thought about this post, but. There was a post from, and I don't know him or how good his sources are, but there was a post from, was it OS X News? Carsten, I don't, you're showing my screen as if I know where I'm going. I think it was, in which he talks about his sources saying, probably not even 2018, probably 2019, because his sources say, they started just weeks before the briefing last week. Like, they just literally started.
It doesn't work that way. So, and I guess anyone who's worked on a project knows it doesn't work. They have multiple versions of things all the time. There's always multiple prototypes, and all of those are in the air because they never know when an exec like the Eye of Sauron is going to turn on them and say, what do you have in the pipeline?
Right.
So they have a lot of this stuff ready. And my understanding is meetings on this stuff have been going on at least intensely since late last year. So it might be that, you know, this was one option, and as of early this year, it is the option. That could have been what changed. But they've had things like modular Mac Pros. I wouldn't take that as a literal.
This is, by the way, I'll give credit now because I found the site. It's OS News, and it's Tom Holwerda. And he says, just from his sources now, based on his sources, he also says that, interesting paragraph is, why did Apple do a 180? Well, after the announcement of the new MacBook Pro with touch bars, orders for refurbished old MacBook Pros supposedly went through the roof. And after the initial batch of reviews came out, they shot up even higher. This response to the new MacBook Pro with touch bar took Apple completely by surprise. Combined with the problems surrounding the LG display and the constant negativity from professional app users or Apple users, the company decided to double down on professional users. Is that credible?
It made different people win arguments. So, like, there's arguments all the time. No, it did. Like, some people were arguing that we have to make our own displays. We absolutely cannot cede this territory. And other people are like,
this is what you were saying last week.
Interesting business,
right.
But it's, and that when things like that happen, they can get turned around on one review or one journalist or one, like Eddie Q turned them around on iPad Mini. I mean, that happens all the time. So the LG display is fine. It's, oh, crap, we can't leave this to LG. Get dust off that display, get it going again. So this to me reads like they got some information and inferred a lot, because the touch bar, Apple absolutely believed everybody, or at least people, a lot of people at Apple thought that people were just going to love it. They were going to see it. They were going to love it as much as people at Apple did. And that turned out not to be true. And that caused them to reassess things. But each of those things do not add up to this.
Okay. Good. That's why I brought it up. So you can
It's just anecdotal. That's anecdotal. Which means it's not necessarily not true, but you take it for, okay, someone told me something, and this is how I interpreted it.
You know why I bought it? It sounded credible because, I, in fact, traded in my Touch Bar MacBook Pro for the Function Key version. Not the old one, but a refurbished.
Yeah, so that's
I thought I thought you were going to say the functional version. which is not off the mark.
Not so bad. And then, and I'm actually really happy. It's the 13, and it's got function keys. It's from October. I know it's not as fast as the 15-inch that I bought with the Touch Bar, but it's more functional to use it.
Well, I know. I know. For us, we have a couple of Retinas, for us, they're all on lease, and we have to figure out what to update them to. And I have a feeling we're just going to update them to the last version. I don't think we're going to jump to the. I might have one or two of the ones with the bar, but it's just they just don't serve our purpose.
Laptop Magazine survey: Apple has fallen to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th place, tied for fifth place. In best and worst laptop brands. That's not good. No. Now, that's Laptop Magazine, and, most of these other ones are Windows machines. And actually, though, I would say, number one's Lenovo, number two, Asus, then Dell, HP, surprisingly, but I agree. Acer, I agree with this. Then Apple, MSI, Razer, Samsung, and Microsoft. And this is based on, they do include reviews.
What was Apple last year?
It was number one.
Right. That's a big drop.
Apple was one, Asus and Dell. But it's a drop. See, this is the graph that you want.
And I'm kind of surprised that the Razer is as far down as it is. We just got a Razer in the office for some other stuff that we're doing, and it is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an incredible.
Yeah. Apple was in second place 2013, second place 24. Is this Apple? No, that's... I can't read this graph. No, that's Lenovo. Sorry. Apple, here it was. Apple was first place for 4 years running. That was the red triangle. And then, boom, dropped 5.5 places. That's got to be on the touch bar, right? Were reviews
bad
and
also the lack
touch
of
bar?
Peripheral connections. I think one of the things that really hit them was the peripheral connections.
See, I poo-poo that. I don't think that's...
It's not that things are bad. Dongles. What's happening with a lot of this stuff is that it's super divisive. It's like Apple used to put out products that 80% of their users could use, and now they're putting out products that 50% like and 50% hate. And that's a very different position. Or maybe it's better to say they're putting out products that aren't for for 80%. It's for 20% here, you know, 15% there, 50% there. And I was just reading Horace Dadio was saying how much he loves the Touch Bar because now he can give presentations without messing with the screen. And Neil Seibert has an In Defense of the Touch Bar thing up today. And other people are saying this is the worst thing Apple has ever done. So it's not that everyone thinks it's terrible. It's right. that it is another product. Listen, a long line of recent products that are divisive.
It's very much like the Apple Watch, isn't it?
Well, it's like some people hate the new keyboard, some people like it. Some people hate the new touchpad, some people like it. It's very divisive technology.
It's divisive, but it's not it's divisiveness is good when it's a product like the iPad versus a product like like the MacBook Air. It's not a good thing when you, for really no intelligible reason, are alienating a whole bunch of people to throw in a feature that's, again, you're absolutely right, that some people love and some people hate. It's when you it's defending the decision that, okay, but why did you have to put in this piece of crap keyboard? Why did you have to why did you have to add the touch bar but also take away mechanical function keys? Why did you have to put in all USB-C and not put in even one, you know, legacy USB 3 port? And given that you're getting $2,000, sometimes $3,000-$4,000 for this device out of people, these people have a right to say that I want something that works for me. I don't want something that makes for a good keynote. I don't want something that makes you really excited about design. I want something that is actually going to give me value for money. So I don't think that's playing the game at a very, very at the NFL level. If you're saying that, well, we decided to throw out three things that people like to put in one thing that half the people are going to like.
Well, and
I thought they played with the MacBook Pro.
I think that for me, it really should be the MacBook Executive as opposed to the MacBook Pro. You know, as a pro user.
Oh, that's an interesting designation.
The people who I think that it's great are not people who are really trying to connect a bunch of stuff to it and make it you know, work with a lot of different inputs. I think that a lot of people who designed it are thinking, well, this is great. It's convenient, and you know, you don't need that many peripherals. But people like me will use all of those dongles all the time. Well, you know, and that's really annoying.
My own complaints go away if you call it the MacBook Air Pro as opposed to the MacBook Pro. If they did what they did with the MacBook Nothing, which is we are putting this rather radical design alongside everything else we make. We're not going to say that if you want a MacBook Air, now you have to have this instead because we're not going to sell the other thing anymore. So if they just said that we're going to have a new class of MacBook Air because our research has shown there are a lot of people who are consumerish in soul but occasionally do pro-like things, great, but we're also going to give you the thing that's made out of milk crates lashed together and has faucets for the liquid cooling system that's going to be required for all the horsepower that's going to be in this machine that gets 40 minutes of battery life because it is really that powerful, pro users.
Well, I think that if they had replaced the right side with USB-C and left the left side alone, I think all of the complaints would have gone away. It would have just been, oh, wow, USB-C.
Well, we have a way complaints about the connectors 3. Would have gone away.
But I think that might be a little misguided because, the future is USB-C. All laptops, you know, are going to be coming out with USB-C now. And I mean, I guess I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that the future isn't here yet. Yeah, you know, and so the thing is that, you know, and Apple needed to figure out how to build all those cables and really work with folks on it rather than just stick it out there. I mean, yeah, the future, of course, is not having headphones, but I bought 5 of these and I'm down to 2. I keep on losing them. And I bought five as well.
And I am down to 2 as well. He's holding up the lightning to headphone jack connector.
5, yeah.
Yeah, and so the thing is that this is like this constant issue. The state of, you know, there's not enough of the wireless, you know, Apple's AirPods out there. And the state of the Bluetooth headphones are, you know, horrible. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I tried most of them and none of them, you know, they all break up at some point. And it's not the same audio quality. And so the thing is that a lot of people that really want to have a solid connection all the time, you know, still want a wired connection. And it's every time I can't find the connector, I feel like an idiot.
Here's an offbeat question. Did they remember they dropped the cost of dongles by half? They said just for the end of the year 2016, and then they said, is it still half off?
It's still pretty cheap.
I think it recently just ended. It ended.
Okay, so a USB-C to USB Type-A is $19. That's not bad. Thunderbolt 3 to Thunderbolt 2, $50. You know what? They didn't go up all the way back, but they went. So USB-C to the multi-port adapter is $70. They are kind of coming back, aren't they? But not,
yeah. But for me, it's not the price. It is the having a computer in my backpack and saying that that I didn't foresee that I would need my an Ethernet connector or USB 2.0 whatever connector. Or I thought it's just like you losing those headphone dongles. It's like I really have to buy them in just batches and batches and batches, because at some point I've got 8 minutes to leave my office to make my train on time. And so I said, I shouldn't do this, but I know that I've got the right adapter in my backpack. I'll just steal it from there and put it in my laptop bag. And now it's not in the, you know, it's, well, I just keep coming back to the idea of, why do you have to take things away? Why can you not simply add? We won't talk about the new Samsung phone, but I couldn't help but think that. So after all the speech about how, and look, all the space we'll get back to put new great things in here if we just take out that awful headphone jack that nobody wants to use. Say, okay, so again, the new Galaxy phone has a huge screen where there is no bezel left on it. So all the entire face of this thing is going to be displacing places underneath it that they could hide other components. They've also added a whole bunch of other stuff that the iPhone doesn't have, including a card reader. And it has USB-C, and it still has a headphone jack. So somehow they figured out how to just add cool stuff without removing cool stuff. And it just keeps the way that they launched that device in September, Apple, it's just looking dumber and dumber. I wish they just said we can make whatever we want. We've decided that this is our way forward, and we know that we hope people will follow us.
Well, and I think that the thing is they could have just had the AirPods launch and then have people think about how great those are and spent a year getting supply up and making sure that it worked and, you know, trying to get, you know, other folks using the new platform and so on and so forth without taking the headset away. I know that there's some pressure on that, but for instance, we sit there and talk to people who are doing high end Facebook Lives to with their phone, and we have to tell them, you know, if you really want to get the highest quality, you have to actually use a 6S. You know, and that is like, and that's kind of a hard thing for them to understand. They were like, well, I got the 7. I'm like,
really?
Go back. Yeah. Because if you want the highest quality, you're going to want an Ethernet connection to your phone, and you're going to want to basically pipe XLR through a converter into the headphone jack. And so, you know, if you really want to squeeze the most out of your phone to do something, you know, great with your phone, you are not going to use a 7.
9to5 Mac does have an article actually coincidentally published today, saying with a list of less expensive alternatives to Apple's USB-C dongles that they think are pretty good. You have to be careful with USB-C. Yeah. As we learned from Benson Leong at Google, back when Google was, you know, like the only people using USB-C, because improperly made cables that aren't up to spec can damage your device. And here's some really, you know what, I've been, all the bad news I've been telling you, this is some good news. Macs are now compatible with the new Titan XP from NVIDIA. This is really great.
That's so cool.
Oh, it's the cheese grater Mac.
Oh. Or what is it? What is the thing called, the external?
I got a couple of those laying around. I got to go find them.
Is that silly? I have the last cheese grater Mac. I already upgraded the video card. I put as much RAM in as I could. Would it be silly to put a Titan in there? I mean,
I think it mostly depends on whether your purposes are going to
computer.
Mostly it depends on whether you're using, how much GPU you're using.
Okay. It's not going to be bandwidth hampered by the bus, or I guess it's PCI Express. It's not going to be, so that's fine, right? It's not,
I
and
think
the
so.
CPU
I
is
can't
a
imagine
Xeon.
It. I don't think you'd use it as a general purpose thing. I think if you did it, you'd be using
gaming.
An application that is extremely
heavy.
I'll
be honest. I use my
GPU.
Cheese Grater as a Windows probably. Machine for gaming.
I think you'd probably find that it was a pretty good gaming machine. Makes me want to get some. I got a bunch
it
of cheese
right
graters
now.
Somewhere.
I just
they're like
it.
Stacked up somewhere.
Yeah. It's only $1,200, kids. Limit 2 per customer. Why would you? Oh, shucks. Only 2? I want to put 4 in.
What's the other one? The TI is almost as good, right?
Yeah, the titanium. You don't need to get the XP, Titan XP. But this is the new Pascal platform. So that's why some people might be interested in it. I can't even remember. It's not even a 980 I have in the cheese grater. It's before that. But it's fine, you know, and I don't use it so much as the kid uses it. But he plays all the tough games on it, and it works just fine. Apple, just release, update the cheese grater. Just update the cheese grater.
That would have been great. We're re-releasing the cheese grater. Yeah,
you know, the only reason they're not doing it is because it'd be embarrassing. That's all.
I think, as a pro user that would probably buy a lot of these machines, I think that if Apple really spent its time thinking about building an actual pro machine, one that looks awesome on your desk, you can stand it up with a stand, but it's 19 inches long so that you can actually 2U or 3U that you can slide it into a rack mount. And then all the components, you know, slide right in. You can add, you know, you can put your graphics cards and slide them in and just slide them all in. And it's all nice and easy to pull things out. So it's very Apple. It's very shiny. It's very, you know, it's easy to use. It just works. All of those things. But think about the users that are actually using those, because I know a lot of people that would, if they did that format, that are pro users, that would go crazy and buy lots and lots and lots of them.
I'm just intrigued by the idea of Apple's engineers are, you know, absolutely top of the list, and their creativity is also top of the list. And I think that it would be a really interesting challenge for them to be thrown sort of an Apollo sort of project for the new Mac Pro and said that, okay, here is the deadline. We are going to ship a new Mac Pro on February 12th of 2018. You may waste anything but time, and that is your hard deadline. And so if it gets them to say that, well, tell you what, if we actually just recycle the cheese grater design that we can modify the tooling. We know the thermal operations of it, and also we know that we can rack this stuff. Okay, so we got the case design. GPU. What if we were to simply support regular off the shelf NVIDIA GPU? Okay, that's another 8 months that we can take off the schedule. It would be an interesting challenge for them to say that no, you're not allowed to have custom chips for everything. No, you're not allowed to run this through 18 different design cycles to figure out what the chamfer angle on this should be. It's like, it's a box, so long as it's right angles and someone can put their coffee on it. Okay, maybe put some weather sealing underneath that seam in case they spill their coffee. That's fine. You forget that the iPod was the first iPod was a crash project that was done in a lot less than 1 year. And a lot of the reasons why they were able to do it is because they said, okay, here's a company that has the software we need. Great, we'll buy it. We'll use it. Okay, here's an operating system. Great, we'll buy that and use it. And that's how they got all they needed to make is the stuff that was inherently Apple. The stuff that made it a music player was largely off the shelf.
April 7th was the deadline. From the Turkish crime family, did Apple pay them off or what? We'll talk about that in a moment. Andy Iannacco, Renee Ritchie, Alex Lindsay, it's Mac Break Weekly. Our show today brought to you by a new sponsor that makes a product, or a website really, free website that solves a problem people call me about all the time. It's often small business owners saying, well, you know, I need some network security, or I need an accounting system, or I need... And and the thing is, what you first do usually is you Google it, but then you get just this kind of list of stuff and you don't know how useful it is. So let me tell you about Capterra, the smart way to find business software in 400 plus categories. Let's say you work for a doctor and the doctor said, hey, look, you got to find me some medical practice management software. I'm tired of doing this all on paper. And where do you go? Do you just Google medical practice management or go to Capterra? You've got all of the products listed with verified reviews, product ratings, so you can look at them all one by one, links right to the website, and you can even drill down. Does it have to be HIPAA compliant? Is it multi-physician? Do you want to be able to do billing as well? And then you can filter the results and come up with solutions that give you exactly what you're looking for. And then when you look at it, you can see the reviews. You can see how it works. You get all of the information by going right to the software. You can even have a comparison chart and get three or four together. Look at this nice interface. And let's press compare now. This is Capterra, and it's free to you. Capterra.com/twit. A/B testing, cloud management, IT service, password managers. There are 30,000 software solutions in 400 plus categories. Website building, customer service, project management. There's no obligation. You don't even register. Do you see a register button here? No. They don't want information about you. That's fine. It's just a free resource that will make it easier for you to make the right software decision. 200,000 ratings and reviews. This is awesome. Do what you do better and join the millions who use Capterra every month to find the software solutions they need for their businesses. Capterra, CAPTERRA.com/Twit. It is free, and there's no sign up. This is awesome. I finally have a resource I could point people to saying, I don't know about accounting software, but you can go to capterra.com/twit and find out more. We thank them for their support of Mac Break Weekly. The Turkish Crime Family, the best hacker group name in the world. They're probably from North London, which means they're from England. They're not a family.
Oi! Really. Hey! I'm the Turkish Crime Family.
No, I'm
go
sorry.
Go get your computers, what?
I always end up doing my Dick Van Dyke.
The side.
Mary Poppins. Anyway, so April 7th, they said they had more than half a billion now. They went up to like 637 million iCloud accounts. And they said, if you don't pay us, we're going to wipe phones and wipe Macs. And I haven't heard any word about wiped phones and wiped Macs. And so the question is, was this all BS? Or did Apple pay? The Turkish Crime Family said Apple paid. They told SC Magazine in the UK that they got a Bitcoin payment of $400,000. It was something was paid, and it was 401 Bitcoin early in the evening of April 7th. It was from an obfuscated Bitcoin ID.
Wasn't Tim. We have no proof that it was Tim.
We have no proof it was Tim or Apple, but wow, that's kind of interesting. It sounds like maybe Apple, after downplaying this all, actually paid the Turkish Crime Family, which would not
be
a good precedent.
Because, like, you pay them, and then they're just going to release it. Like, you have no
terrible precedent. Terrible precedent.
Yeah. I doubt it.
I doubt it,
also,
too. But where this...
Also, Apple stuck their neck out saying that we're not going to, you know, this is not how we do business.
Right.
So they would have had the ability to start just on the schneid saying, you know what, we checked one of the sofas in one of the lounges, we found $630,000, so we paid the $400,000 and bought pizza for everybody. We can consider the case closed. But again, once you go and say that we're definitely not going to do that, yeah, you better not do that.
Yeah. So a number of people pointed out, if you really wanted to prove you could do it. What do they do in James Bond movies, right? If you, as a supervillain, want to prove that you could blow up the world, you do a little demo. They could have wiped a phone or two, right? And said,
oh,
look,
so what
see?
Happens right. is, coincidentally, the Turkish Crime Family is throwing a big party that night. Tim Cook puts on a tuxedo, and they rent a car, and they make a fake identity. And he gets an invitation to that party.
No,
and then
Mr.
he goes,
Cook.
Ah, this is Tim, shaken, not stirred. Yeah, and he infiltrates it, and Johnny does some kung fu and gets the list, and that's how it works, right?
So a Turkish Crime Family spokesman told SC Magazine the funds might take a while to transfer. No funds had appeared in the wallet that they proposed. However, they did post a payment of 401.731 bitcoins in the early evening of April 7th. So where did that come from? Did Apple pay the
politicians?
Ransom?
Politicians terrified politicians. That they were going to actually release this stuff.
Maybe. I don't.
Everything we wanted to ban turns out we did it, and it's in iCloud, and we're terrified now.
Great article by Troy Hunt, who is a Microsoft regional director and MVP. Here's where the Apple accounts that hackers are threatened to wipe came from. And, he's talking about the dump that Zach Whitaker and ZDNet got of sample data and going through. It's actually really fun to read how this did. By the way, the top 10 passwords in this data, number one, Football 95 with 2,345
Oh, damn it, I'm
accounts.
Vulnerable.
Disney 1. And 800 was 1,270 accounts. Blank was 841 accounts. I love people and their passwords. 123456 was 773 accounts. You know, yep. These people could be wiped. I mean, really, if your password is 111111.
Yeah. 69 did not rank as high as I thought it would.
344 people had the word password as their password.
Yeah.
It said type password, Leo. It said type password.
One of the best ways to get somebody to choose a better password is just to simply email them or text them a link to that doc that says, here's in 2017, here's what the 100 most common passwords as reported by system administrators were. And you don't have to shame them, but say, if your password is on this list, realize that you're not, if I have that this access to this list and you have access to this list, the bad people also have access to this list. Yeah.
It's really funny. When I was setting up my iPhone after updating, I wiped an iPhone and set it up as new, and it asked me for a PIN code, and I was in a rush just to get screenshots. So I just typed in 1111, and it goes, I'm sorry, that's a commonly used PIN code. I'm like, I just need to take screenshots. 2222. Sorry, that's a commonly used. And it started to become a stressful situation for me to find something that I could just
to lose
use for screenshots.
You,
but
Renee.
Remember.
Yes.
So, well, no, it's not going to stay that way. I just had to document the.
No. I'm saying that's where the phone says, I think that you need to time out.
I'll let you. I'll let you read Troy's article and follow his logic. But the conclusion is, he says it seems most likely the list of Apple accounts isn't in fact hundreds of millions. It's instead less than 53,000. He has good logic behind this, and it's predominantly compromised Evony accounts and a small handful full of others. But so that's interesting. You know, once you put it through his funnel, It's a much smaller number. Nevertheless, I mean, even if it were 53,000 people, Apple would, I think, be concerned about this. I don't know. Anyway, there's the Turkish crime family, by the way. Good looking fella. Probably not the Turkish crime family, I should point out. There you go. That's a much better. that's a much better Turkish crime. We're looking at their Twitter profiles. Good,
maybe
interesting article.
Double bluff.
Maybe
they're going for the double bluff.
It could be. We don't know. They did claim to get payment. They had a blockchain link. They say you can't prove it's Apple because they used a Tumblr to obfuscate it.
Yeah, I just don't know, because you pay them and then they'll release it. Like, you have no guarantee they're not going to release it anyway. Or maybe they have another $500,000 next week that they didn't tell you about and they want double the money. Doesn't seem like
a guy named Jonathan Levin, who is a co-founder of Chain Analysis and a digital currency entrepreneur, says that in fact that Bitcoin exchange was an internal treasury move of Bitcoin at a Korean Bitcoin exchange, it did match the amount, but you know, these guys, it's really the gang that couldn't shoot straight, I think. So If you're let us know. Did your iCloud account get wiped? Did your Apple device get wiped? Let us know. Maybe
got three people in Belgium, Mr. Laporte. We got them good.
Don't make me use this weapon, Mr. Cook.
Set a cool paru against him. He's Belgian. He's got a national issue here.
Better than sending who's the Pink Panther guy against him?
You only hacked Clouseau. Twice, Mr. Cook.
Inspector Clouseau.
Clouseau.
Does your Bitcoin bite? Under the new proposed Trump tax plan, Apple could repatriate, according to Citibank analysis, could repatriate its $230 billion of overseas money and see its profits jump by 16%. Actually, Business Insider saw the Citi report. The plan includes reducing the corporate tax rate from 35% to 15%, which I'm all for. That would really help me. Thank you.
Repatriate to Leo.
Yeah, I could finally get all of that Bitcoin I've got overseas, get my $50 back. Well, it's only a half a Bitcoin. No, I'm sorry. A tenth of a Bitcoin. One half of 1/10 of a Bitcoin.
The longer you're talking, the less money you have, Leo. Stop.
I know. Well, Bitcoin, you never. It's very volatile. The tax on the repatriated money in the Trump plan would be 10%. But it would be very good.
Two Mar-a-Lago weekends.
That's a little easier to understand when you put it that way.
It'd be quite a few Mar-a-Lago weekends, because this is 230 billion.
Seven Mar-a-Lago weekends.
But the revenue, yeah.
That could pay for 6 months of the president's travel.
Mar-a-Lagoing.
Yeah, exactly.
The proposal according to Cliff, city analysts Jim Suva and Asiya Merchant, probably be used as I am ignorant and not, I do not work as an analyst for Citibank, but even I thought Apple would just use it for the stock buyback program. They say that would add 10% to their earnings per share. The lowered domestic rate would also improve earnings per share by 6%. So
Well, and I think that would give them the opportunity if they wanted to. Now, they've gotten really good rates on their loans, so it may or may not mean that they're going to
pay those off, right? You don't think they pay them off?
No. Maybe. It depends on the percentage, you know, what they're paying, but there's a high probability they'd pay those down, which I don't know what the total number is right now, but it's not.
They were borrowing to do the buybacks because they didn't have the money in the U.S., so they were borrowing overseas money, effectively.
And it's about, I think right now it's about $80 billion or $100 billion, somewhere in that range. So you could imagine them bringing back 200 and X amount and using half of it just to pay down those. But I think that was a calculation that Apple was making for quite some time, was that eventually, some president is going to want to get that money back, because it is an opportunity for the government to also generate a lot of revenue pretty quickly.
Has Apple ever said anything about this? I think, given Tim Cook's kind of reluctance to support Trump, I think he might not.
They've talked about it. I don't talk about it recently. Yeah, but they have talked about it.
They might not want to say, "Hey, we love this new tax plan."
They've talked about draconian tax laws.
They don't. They don't like it.
So I think,
they want to repatriate. But have they specifically addressed this proposal? I don't think so.
Not yet.
No, but a lot
as I can see.
But they have an earnings call coming up.
Oh.
And the total number, I think, is that people are kicking around if all the corporations take advantage of this. Because really, when you look at it from a corporation's perspective, the Republicans may lose control of House and or Senate, most likely this, quite possibly the Senate, in 2 years. And so if this law goes into effect, you know, the concern may be that we have somewhere between 1 and 3 years to take advantage of. You can imagine a lot of corporations pulling a lot of cash back into the United States to take advantage of that holiday right now, especially if there's a time on that holiday. It may also be something that they say, well, it's only good this year. Well, that could bring as much as $1.5 trillion back into the country and a tax benefit of the United States of $150 million. So it's not, you know,
it's not nothing.
Not, small amount of money.
Right.
It's not as much as it would be if they
repatriated it at current corporate tax.
But they're not going to.
But they'll never do that.
You know, like that, it'd be nice if that pie in the sky was something that I could actually eat. But I'll take the one that I can actually, you know, enjoy. So I think that's
apple
kind
pie,
of the,
but I'll take raspberry.
There. It's also an opportunity to, you know, for these, you know, obviously they're going to bring all that money back in. Some of them are going to pay down debts, but it also could mean, you know, more investment in a variety of things they might do in the United States, because now the money's here, not over there. It's expensive to use. So there's a lot of options there. I think that overall it's a really good, it would be one of the, it'd be a good move, you know, for the country.
Meanwhile, I have to pay every penny of tax on anything I've got make overseas. it's tax time. I'm aware of this right now.
Leo, you obviously just haven't structured that very well.
I apparently need to get
it could be worse, Leo. It could be Canadian tax season for you.
Oh. Right. You guys already paid, right?
No, I think it's May 1st this year.
Oh, you get a later date. We're April 18th, I think.
Yeah, we're a little bit later than you. But they take a lot more money, so it works out.
But do you get more, do you think, for that money, or is it not?
We do. I mean, I forget what it is now, but tuition at universities is very low comparatively, and there's Medicare and stuff. But we also have these monstrous civil service. Like, I think we have more civil service people in Quebec than you have in California.
Wow. So,
And
your population is less than California.
Seldom, if you give a government money, does it not figure out how to use more than it has.
Wow, you're sounding like a Republican.
Services.
What is it in Canada? Are you a Whig?
The Conservative Party of Canada. No, I love giving the government money. I just want to see exactly what I'm getting from
it. Yeah,
I
know.
Take it as much as you want,
Good
but
luck.
I want to see.
Good luck.
I want to see where it goes.
Yeah, I would love to say to tell the state and federal government what to do with my tax money, but they seem to
want
to do
what they
want.
My taxes went up, but garbage collection went to once a week. I don't understand. These two things.
I'd love to tell them that. I'm hyper aware of it because, you know, we actually paid our taxes. We paid it a couple of weeks ago, but I'm hyper aware of how much it costs. It's but you know what? I'm glad to do it because I like living in this country, and I want to. I know that that's part of the deal. It's kind of, they go together.
I just view it as rent.
It's rent.
You know, it's the rent for being in the country.
And it's part of, I think it's our civil contract. It's part of our deal, right? That, you know, I've been very fortunate. And so it's fair that they take almost half of what I make. And And I agree with you, Renee. I'd love to see it used more effectively, but it goes into appropriate things for the most part.
I think for me, when I think of it as rent, and I just think of it, this is the cost of being here. I stop worrying about what they're doing with it. Yeah. I don't worry about what my landlord does with the rent that I pay.
Well, I worry because they're not our landlords; they're us. The government.
Well, you would if your roof was gone.
An independent entity. The government is supposed to be us, right? It's not supposed to be some family. Qualcomm fires back.
I gave up a long time ago.
Kusei and Uday and. Qualcomm fires back at the Apple suit, seeks damages of its own. So Apple sued Qualcomm for $1 billion in January, saying Qualcomm overcharged for use of its technology. It should have been, what do you call those, fame, fan?
Friend. Very reasonable and non-discriminatory.
Very nice, Renee.
Friend.
You're my best friend.
I had to read all this, Leo.
Fair and reasonable and non-discriminatory. The U.S. FTC sued Qualcomm at the same time. Charging it violated antitrust law. Qualcomm says Apple's complaints to regulators released the company of its obligation to make certain payments. What? And they're rejecting the iPhone maker's claims and launching their own countersuit, saying Apple breached agreements and mischaracterized agreements and negotiations with Qualcomm. It interfered with agreements that Qualcomm had with the contract manufacturers who built Apple's iPads and phones. Encouraged various government regulatory agencies around the world to launch inquiries against Qualcomm by misrepresenting facts and making false statements. They told on us.
Yeah, how dare they?
And I love this. This is my favorite one. They also said Apple throttled the Qualcomm modem chip in the iPhone 7, which we know they did, and Apple has said they did, while misleading people on the performance difference between its modem and rival chip from Intel. And then threatened Qualcomm to try to prevent it from making its own performance claims. So it's well known that the iPhone 7 has both Intel and Qualcomm chips in it, radio chips in it. And that because the Intel chip underperformed, they throttled the Qualcomm chip. So I wouldn't feel bad because I have one with the Intel chip in it. So I'm not going to feel bad when your LTE data is coming in so much faster.
Just so people, Intel bought Infineon, which was the original modem manufacturer for iPhone. Apple switched from Infineon to Qualcomm. Intel bought Infineon, and they've been pitching Apple ever since then.
Got it. There you go. So this is one of those things that in about 5 or 6 years on Mac Break Weekly, we'll be reporting the results of these lawsuits.
I have little sympathy for Qualcomm because if you start talking to the industry, very few people are happy with their business practices. And it does seem from country to country that I don't know if predatory is the right word. There's a fragrance of early Intel, Microsoft market dominant control there, and you don't want to pay the amount. So just for people, Qualcomm owns CDMA technology,
right?
And if you buy your modem, you got to get CDMA,
right?
Yeah, but like only in America, mostly only Verizon and Sprint. There's a few in China use CDMA, but everyone in the world has to pay a huge additive licensing fee because Qualcomm is only making those chips with CDMA on them. They call them world phones, but the entire world is basically paying a Qualcomm tax. And they've been having huge profits for years off all of this. So yeah, fix that, please, government.
No, I think you're not far wrong. Qualcomm is virtually a monopoly in the United States. The new Samsung Galaxy S8 in the U.S. will have a Qualcomm chip, not a Samsung Exynos chip, even though those Exynos chips are
ridiculous. I mean, they make their own silicon. That could be a huge competitive advantage for them, but they can't take advantage of it fully because they have to hedge with Qualcomm because of all this BS licensing stuff. Let Samsung be Samsung. Sorry.
Let Samsung be Samsung. I never thought I'd heard that from you. I love that.
No, but I think like making Samsung silicon alone is becoming, I think it's increasingly becoming a differentiator, and it's becoming a power. Like, if you can program exactly for your own silicon, you have huge advantages.
It's a big advantage for Apple.
Because half their phone has to run on Qualcomm, so they can't take full advantage of their own silicon, and that's not fair.
Well, that's interesting. Couldn't Apple design its own chips and just stop buying them from Qualcomm?
I mean, are we going to do a segment on Apple making? Because there's a whole bunch of rumors about Apple making
Apple silicon. Well, then they'd be sued by Qualcomm for infringement, right? Yeah, so
they'd have to license.
They still have to pay license fees.
Relevant technologies. Yeah.
Although
I wouldn't be surprised if Apple had a very big alphabet of, you know, Apple W's, Apple M's, Apple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apple modems, I don't think, are far away.
I wonder if we want to get into the rumors section. Let's take a break and then get into the rumors section of the show. We do actually have some concrete news. Like, there's new versions of iOS 10.3.2, Mac OS 10.12.5. These are all betas. WatchOS 3.22, tvOS 10.1. Oh, and an interesting thing. This 9 to 5 Mac caught this. Apple is no longer signing. They've done this in the past. Older versions of iOS, which That's means totally you can't normal. Downgrade. Right?
I mean, yeah, but this is totally normal. It's just
they do this in the past, but what 9 to 5 is pointing out is that means APFS, you're stuck with it.
Downgrading from iOS, I mean, iOS is a completely managed environment, and downgrading to a previous version has never been a long-term solution for anything.
Right.
Because it is so difficult to maintain an older operating system on an iPhone.
There were also, we should point out, security. Lots, iOS 10.3 and 3.1 were littered with security flaws, so downgrading it would be a very risky thing to do in general. So this Apple always does this, right? They stop signing it, which means you can't legitimately downgrade. Can you get around the signing? You'd have to jailbreak? What would you do?
Yeah jailbreak. I don't think there's a jailbreak in that version.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just don't do it. Like, if you're a super level pro, don't do it for very specific reasons.
Don't do it.
The only people who would ever want to sideload an earlier version of the operating system under those circumstances are the people who would be more happy to break it themselves. So
right,
this isn't a thing.
Good. Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're the hiring person, the hirer in chief at your company, whether you're the sole proprietor and you need some help, or you're a big business and you're the HR person, you got to know by now. You know about ZipRecruiter, right? I hope you're using ZipRecruiter. Some of the biggest companies in the world are using ZipRecruiter. Many of the Fortune 100, thousands of small businesses, medium-sized businesses too. ZipRecruiter makes it easy to do the hiring. It's the easiest way to do it, and it's also the best way, because when you're hiring, you want to find that person, that one. There may be five people to be perfect. Maybe there's 100, but maybe there's just one. And the thing is, you need to know where what job board is that person haunting. Where is that? Where can I get to that person and convince them to apply for the job so I can hire the most amazing person? Well, I guess you could do it by hand and go to all the job boards. There's hundreds. Or you can go to ZipRecruiter.com, post to 200-plus job boards and Twitter and Facebook with one click of the mouse. And better than that, not only are you reaching the broadest possible audience, there's no better way to reach the broadest possible audience. They have, I can't remember what, 60 million resumes in their own, current resumes in their own database, so you can match to those instantly. You'll start getting applications immediately, and they won't be calling you. I love this. They won't be coming into your inbox. That's sometimes the worst part about being in the hiring position, is that you get all this mail. No, every applicant is funneled into the ZipRecruiter interface. They reformat the resumes so they're uniform, makes it easy. You can screen them automatically with your own questions, multiple choice, yes, no, even essay questions, you know, really narrow it down and then rank the remainers and find the right person fast in any city, in any industry, anywhere in the U.S. No more juggling emails, no more calls to your office. This is the way to hire. And all if you go to ZipRecruiter.com/twit, ZipRecruiter.com/twit. You can read all the testimonials. You can see how it works. And then you can try it free. ZipRecruiter.com/twit. This really is the best way to do your hiring. It's how we do it. And I tell you what, once you use ZipRecruiter, you'll never go back. This is like easy peasy, lemon squeezy. I did not coin that phrase. ZipRecruiter.com, I'm happy to say. ZipRecruiter.com/twit. Andy Inako, Chicago Sun-Times from iMore Yellow, the new Pokemon flavor. It's Renee Ritchie.
Pikachu. Pikachu.
How's it going with the new redesign? Everything going well?
Yeah, I mean, we had a much more ambitious plan. We were going to launch much more of it and much earlier than we did, but we ended up having just the header part go out for now, and that's solid. So fingers crossed we're going to get a lot.
You know what's nice, though? You also are launching the new app.
Oh, yeah. That's my pick of the week.
I love it. Okay. I won't.
I have all the details.
I won't spoil it.
Okay.
But the new iMore Yellow. And Alex Lindsay, who's right now at Sweetbriar College in beautiful Virginia.
I am. I've taken over. I don't know if you know Aaron Mailer, but Aaron's the CTO. And so we were
I didn't know
having meetings here Yeah, yeah. So he runs all the IT, or really all the systems here. You know, makes this place work, and it's pretty. It, as far as college, it runs amazingly smooth because Aaron is fanatical. So, anyways, we're talking about a bunch of stuff here and having meetings, and he's got quite the office. It's everything from a Newton. Here you go.
I've got two of those. Yeah.
Yeah, Newton. But then he also has the Switch, which is is it the Switch? Yeah. Yeah. Which Nintendo. Turned out to be much better than I expected, the Nintendo.
I can't stop playing it.
I know. I only played it for a couple minutes, and I was like, okay, this is... And I looked at him, I was like, so these are really back... They're really back-ordered, aren't they? And he's like, yeah, they're really... Awesome. But there's also, like, you know, in the background, he showed me that he's got a... That LED is a NASA, like old NASA with the little light holes in the back to turn on and off the characters. And... So anyway,
wow! This is not the same Aaron Mahler who used to do TWIP, right?
Yeah, no, it's Aaron Mahler from TWIP. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Give
him my regards.
I definitely will.
We were buddies a few years ago, a long time ago. So you're a pixel corer. You don't call yourself pixel corers.
No, we don't really have a name for it. How
about Pixels Core?
Is it Pixels
Core? Talks of Pixels or...
Pixels Core, like
called Pixies,
General?
And I was like, no.
Pixies
there's
is good.
A band called the Pixies.
Pixel Core Ninjas?
There's a band for that.
Pixel Corps.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Anyway, great to have you as well. I like it when the whole gang is here. We've seen more of you lately, which is nice. Anything to say about the betas? 10.3.2, 10.12.5. When are we going to get APFS, the new Apple file system? We got it for mobile. When are we going to get it for desktop?
It is a bigger job on desktop.
Oh, yes.
iOS is such a controlled environment. And right. If you look at Apple managed to update the whole file system of hundreds of millions of people pretty much without incident.
Isn't that amazing, by the way?
In a short period of time.
Kudos. Yes. Because the last update you got on your iPhone, your iPad, is it also on the Apple TV?
Yes, I believe so.
And the Apple Watch? I don't know if that even has a file system.
Yeah, it's on everything.
So all the iOS side, you got a new file system.
Yes.
And you didn't even know it. I mean,
And I know it's not user-facing, but internally it is still
huge.
A full file. Like, you can't see it, but it is internally a full file system.
It's huge. No, this is... you know, HFS Plus, which Apple's been using for three decades, is antiquated, and APFS is, by all accounts, and I'm not a file system expert, although I am a file system junkie, is by all accounts a very good COW file system, copy on write file system, which has
for a Gen 1, like it's missing compression and a few other things that nerds really want, but for a Gen 1, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it ain't ZFS yet, but it's headed that way. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And much needed. And it's better for SSDs. That's one of the reasons I'm curious when we're going to get this on OS X, because it is better for SSDs, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's part of a whole new wave of new operating systems that were really Apple wasn't alone in having operating systems that were optimized for floppies, because that's basically the code base that's been built upon. They were just sort of last to I think they backed out of talks about being part of ZFS a while ago because they had their eyes on other things. They didn't think that ZFS was going to do for them. It's not just being able to work more natively with the internet, more natively with servers, and more efficiently with flash storage. But it's also the idea of let's wire in stuff so that things like versioning, things like tracking, things like backups, things like striping and mirroring, those things are you sort of get it for free within the operating system, as opposed to I need to put in this entire extension just to bolt this thing onto, again, this 1986 air-cooled engine on the back of a VW that was never intended by man or God to ever do this sort of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff we're going to get for free in the next few years.
I am a file system junkie. I read those Reddit debates, you know. Oh, BTFS are terrible. Oh, yeah, ZFS.
Like,
it's so funny. But Linux has been making this transition for, like, decades. It feels a really long time. But it's a lot easier to do if you own the OS and everything. Now, I'm curious because, we never did talk about this, but a number of people reported with the upgrade to the new iOS, a massive increase in free space. Gigabytes.
I have this wonder in the back of my head. I can't prove this, but you know how like that other cruft builds up and it's like it's movies that didn't get properly cached when you were streaming them.
Yeah.
And I wonder if changing the file system was enough to just kick all that debris loose.
Well, like, actually, it makes sense that you,
shows that you cached.
And, yeah, it makes sense that you would flush the cache if you're going to put a new file system on there. So maybe it doesn't have anything to do with APFS. It has everything to do with just upgrading the file system.
Yeah.
It's not compressed yet. That was one of the points, yeah.
Yeah. I'll also realize that this really is like replacing the room size area rug in your living room. But when you create a new file system, you can't just simply shake out the old one, slip in the new one. It really is. What they did was they essentially moved all of your files into the yard and then laid out your file system and then moved it back
some
in.
Some of this
so
could
that's
be though
more efficiencies.
APFS does support clones. So if you had identical files, but they were owned by different apps, you'd have double the file usage. And the cloning allows, it's like linking or aliases. It allows you to have a copy that doesn't take up additional space. That could be there could be some benefit just from this new file system. I don't know how much duplication there is. On iOS.
I don't know yet. I've been trying to find out exactly what features are implemented today in the new operating system. The new file system. And I don't know which there are all these features that are included in the engineering of it, but there are a lot of features that have not been turned on yet. So I don't know whether that would be a knock on effect of some of the built in features that we're going to be getting. But I don't know if that's flipped on yet. But it does give you an idea of all the stuff that is good that happens just because you have a modern file system.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really thrilled, and I am looking forward to getting it on the desktop. Somebody in some wag in the chat room said, "Oh, good news! APFS comes with a new Mac Pro." People couldn't even laugh. It was so painful. It's like,
yeah.
No, it's just because there is so much more. It's just such a more chaotic environment that people transferring their Macs over.
I understand. I mean, like I said, in every other case where people are moving file systems, it's a horrible.
And it might be opt-in at first.
It's actually quite remarkable that Apple was able to do this on iOS completely transparently. It's like, it's like that trick, parlor trick of whipping the tablecloth out from under the china on the table. But it's even better than putting a new tablecloth in without disturbing the china. It's in. That's impressive.
In a broader sense, this is something that I really respect Apple for. There are times where, there are rotten members underneath there. There's loose electrical wiring. It really is going to cheese people off and bum people out and inconvenience people to have to move everything out of the house to fix this thing. But they will do that. And sometimes when it comes to a radical redesign of hardware or software, it's like, I know it's going to stink to have this new connector, to switch over to this new way of accessing files. But trust us, but when you get over like how inconvenienced you have been by the switch, you will then realize how much life sucks less because we did all this work.
Yeah. And we've said enough bad things about Apple, so I agree with you, Andy. We should always, when Apple does something right, we should always point out. And this is why we use Apple products, is things like this. And that's why I didn't mind the Type-C connectors on the new laptop so much, because I want to be, I want to be using Thunderbolt 3. I want to be using Type-C. And I just wish we could get them to abandon Lightning. I know people will be mad at me for this, but I wish we could get them to abandon the Lightning port, because I love Type-C everywhere.
Yeah,
That would be really cool.
Yeah, for all the complaining I had for the laptop, it's just the timing and the exclusivity on the laptop. But I definitely agree. I mean, I think that
I already had all the dongles because of the MacBook and because of other phones. I already Type-C had Mini, all the Leo. Dongles.
Just wait for Type-C Mini.
I do like the Lightning connector better than the Type-C, but I'm fine with moving to Type-C.
What's the difference from your point of view?
It's just easier to put. I mean, when you put it in, it's just smaller.
Just physical.
It's smaller. It's all physical.
It's
just smaller.
Audi,
it just pops in. Yeah. So I think that I think it's nicer. I can tighten screws with it. You know, the little.
That's why you like it.
But it does, like, use because it as a exposed. It does,
I had a pan this morning. Over the weekend, I had a pan that wasn't, the handle got loose, and I It turned out that the lightning connector right in there just cranked it right up. See, I can't do that with a C.
Okay, that is a really crap reason for sticking with lightning. but you're not saying that there's a technical benefit. It seems like they're very similar
technology. I don't think there's a technical benefit. Yeah. I think it's just a form. It's just a little smaller, and I think it pops in easier.
Apple can do what they want with it. It's like the biggest benefit they have. If they want to change something, they can just change it.
Some might say the biggest benefit is the license fees that Apple can charge to people who want to use it.
If you look at their numbers, though, I mean,
it's not a big
compared
deal
compared to what. No, yeah. It's really not for them.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I agree that that's the.
It costs them like 100 million times more to chamfer an edge that they don't need to chamfer.
Yeah,
than they get from the MF.
Yeah, program. Yeah, exactly.
We'd be perfectly fine without that chamfer. It's going to cost us hundreds of millions of dollars, but I want that chamfer. Okay.
I applaud them, and I want to see every laptop manufacturer do this for not only abandoning the proprietary laptop power connector. I know everybody's mad about MagSafe, and they could still do a Type-C MagSafe of some kind. But the fact that I can use anything to charge my MacBook is
any
really
any side, any port.
Yeah.
I've been going left and right, back and forth.
Oh,
like I'm
that.
In college, and I'm left right curious about charging them.
Oh, were you left right curious in college? Okay.
Well, no, it was just because previously, like in the coffee shop I go to, the seating is arranged such a way that I always had to turn around to charge the thing because it just wouldn't quite reach one plug.
It's nice to have people.
And now
curious.
I just plug it in the other side, and it's like, woohoo, everything is beautiful again.
Yeah. Also, it would be possible for them to stay proprietary. HP did that. They made a laptop, which I love, their HP Spectre 13T. Uses Type-C charging, has three Type-C ports, even has Thunderbolt 3. But you have to use the HP power adapter. They're obviously checking to see if you're using their proprietary power adapter, even though it's a non-proprietary port. And it drives me nuts. Every other Type-C laptop I have will take anybody's Type-C connector.
That's just obnoxious. Flat out obnoxious.
It's
exactly.
Obnoxious.
Yeah, we said the same.
Yeah.
I don't know if the sync worked, but we said the same word at the same time.
No, I knew what you were going to say. I could read your mind. Hey, have you played? Anybody played with Clips? We tried to play with it yesterday on iOS today.
Such a cool app.
You like it? All right.
Closure, I had it for a week before launch, so I got a lot of stuff with it.
So it is the new Apple Video app. They mentioned it at the event, and that came out finally on Monday, and. The problem I have with it is it's kind of a Me Too app in terms of filters and capabilities designed to say, oh, don't use Instagram, don't use Facebook, don't use Snapchat, use ours, and then save it and export it and share it over to those apps. And the only thing that's different to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, because you obviously like it, the only thing I can see that's different is this auto dictation system.
That's a nice feature. I don't use it because for some reason I can't get it to work the way that I would like.
Well, you can't
to work.
Edit it. But, so if it makes a mistake,
you can edit it. You tap on it and you can edit it.
Oh, okay. Cause I couldn't figure that. That's the other thing. I couldn't figure out a lot of how this stuff works.
I have a guide, Leo. I have an ultimate guide for you.
Oh, good. I'm going to read it.
I really like the way that this is what I imagine as a classic, like, really a classic thing that Apple does really, really well. The idea of, I don't even think of it as like a Snapchat or an Instagram sort of thing. I think of it as a personal version of iMovie, where it's even when I was just playing around with it, I found it a lot easier to tell the story with this app than with iMovie, because if I'm doing iMovie, I'm thinking that, okay, so let's shoot lots of stuff and let's figure out how it's going to cut together. Whereas if I'm using this app, I found myself saying, okay, here is the box. Hold on the button. Here is the box that just came in the mail today. Release the button. Take the box into the office. Put it on the office. Hold on the button. I think this is the new Heathkit vacuum tube clock that I ordered on eBay the other day. Release the button. Open it up. Take the clock out. Okay, yeah, here's – put down the button. And then basically with no muss and no fuss and not having to overthink things, in 4 minutes you have created a 3.5-minute video with narration that you can then post somewhere. And it isn't an incredibly unique app, I will grant you that, but there are lots of apps that do that almost right, and this is an app that does that exactly right. So this is a really, really wonderful app.
All right,
interesting, because
I will retract my pan.
there's two things that are interesting about it. One that I really like, and one that I don't like as much. But they basically created this. This was a video team; it wasn't any social team at Apple. And the thing that they made memories, and they said that people really like memories. A lot of people used it. But they just couldn't tweak it very much. And that was by design. It was meant to be for people whose only feature was a play button. But iMovie was too much for them. If they tried to move into iMovie, they were just lost. So they wanted to make something in between. And it's almost like that famous Randy Ubelos thing where I went on vacation, I just want to edit together my footage and share it. And it just, it's just too long. It's too hard to do that. And this is for, it's not to replace Instagram or Snapchat, but it's for that generation. It's for people who just quickly want to make a short video or a clip. And they don't want to necessarily do it on Instagram because then it's an Instagram, or do it in Snapchat.
Right.
And if you look, a lot of people today, they do Instagram and they try to save it to Snapchat and it doesn't look good. So they just wanted to, exactly what Andy said, to make iMovie for the modern generation. The only problem I have with it is now I feel a little bit of stress to make things better. In Instagram and Snapchat, I just hold the button down and let go and I'm done.
Right.
But now there's like scenes and it feels like sometimes it's too much work and I don't want to invest in it. And I'd rather just press the button to take one photo. I gave it to my godkids. They're 8 years old and 11 years old to play with. And they loved it. They were using iMovie for iOS, but it was too much for them. So they would just use trailers. And they love trailers.
Right.
But everything was the same trailer. And with this, they made like movies of their dog and of their action figures. And they just loved it because they could quickly put together scenes. And then iMessage it to me because my face would pop up right away. The live titling will automatically find names you put in it or do face detection based on your photo album and identify those people for sharing. So all you have to do is press the share button.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
And
determine
who's in it and then send it to them if you want it.
There's no manual for it, right? I have to read your article.
There's a question mark button. No joke. This is a big tip. I turn on accessibility and I turn on voice over and then I press every button and it starts telling me what they are. And then I start writing based on that.
Where's the question mark button?
If you go to the
in the upper right hand corner there. Okay. Yeah. So that's the manual. Clips help. All right. I should have read this before we talked about it yesterday because I didn't know, for instance, you could edit the text and now I can. And now that you've got a review, I've got the place to go.
Yeah. It really is editing that sets it apart. I mean, the way I described it, it doesn't sound that different from Instagram, where, again, you can just record in bursts at a time. But the idea that every time I'm holding down a burst, I'm creating a separate clip that can then be individually moved around or deleted when I rethink something, or as is the case of I haven't actually posted anything yet because there's something that I did create one thing with the idea of posting it when it was finished. I still need to shoot one thing in Boston when I go into town tomorrow. So I can actually say, okay, well, I should finish it by when I'm standing right there. That's how I'll finish it. You don't think with Instagram, you think of it as I'm standing here. I'm going to do this all in 30 seconds and then go away. I'm not going to have much control over what does it. It gives me just as much control over it as I would like to, again, redo a boo-boo without having to redo everything.
Okay. Well, my boo-boo was...
How cool is it that they got Hans Zimmer to come and write like music for this, and it will perfectly time itself to the length of your movie?
Did they do that?
Yeah, Hans Zimmer is one of the soundtracks available to you.
Holy cow.
I just want the part of the Hunt for Red October soundtrack where the sub is going for its first like maiden voyage.
One ping, Mr. Inako. Just one.
Das Vidal, Nya Rodina.
So I made the mistake of not pressing start a new clip, and now everything I shoot is now all part of the first clip. So it just feels like it wasn't that intuitive.
Yeah, the projects are undiscoverable. It's a downward carrot instead of just being the word projects, which is what Apple would normally do.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. There's some design decisions here that are definitely questionable.
I guess
V1.
Right. And once you get used to it, it's not a big deal. But
like you can't. What drives me nuts is if you want to do something, you can't be in the existing clip. You have to like go back to the live camera. Then I see my face all of a sudden. It's always disturbing.
And then I can add something.
I just want to be wherever. I want to add stuff from wherever I am in the app. Like if I've already selected a previous clip, just keep those same add buttons there. Don't take them away.
Right. All right. Well, you know, already I've improved my my previous attempts by editing the text because I love the dictation and how it places it each on each frame and it's clever. But I also have this problem that it doesn't it doesn't get it perfect. But now that I can edit it, although then what does that do to the timing?
It tries to track it. So they said the best thing to do was enunciate, and
I don't want to do that because
no, it's goofy.
Because then you sound that because it's audio and text. So
although a lot of people just turn the audio off apparently, which I didn't know, but that's a thing where you just have subtitles
silence
and it looks like you're talking.
Oh, that's a big thing on Facebook, and the reason they started doing that is because Facebook auto played the video, but they wouldn't auto play the audio. So Al Jazeera, AJ Plus, and others, this was last year, started just putting captions on there, so you even if you just
It's amazing. We went from silent films to talkies.
Right. That was a real good talkies business.
And now socialies. Yeah.
good for Alex's business. I like that.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I was like, because a lot of people are scanning past it and they're deciding whether they're going to click on it and listen to it later. Having that stuff burned in is definitely makes it easier. It's a little bit of a bummer if you have stuff down there, obviously. But a lot of people are fine with that. And a lot of people actually like to watch it. What's interesting is that you see a lot of behavior where people are actually just watching the text and they're not interested in actually pushing it because they're somewhere
in
public
with
and
their
they
sleeping
don't
partner
want to turn it on.
Really?
That's exactly right.
I don't want to wake anybody up. Now, if they only could come up with a phone that doesn't have any light, I'd be set.
OLED with a night theme, would that help?
Hey, speaking of OLEDs, now this is an update on a story we'd reported before, but now, according to rumor, we are up to Apple contracting for 92 million Samsung curved OLED displays.
That's two for Leo, one for Andy, one for Andy, three for Alex.
That's a lot. That wouldn't cover all the iPhones sold in 2017, but it'd come a good portion of the way, like 80%.
You have the 7S and 7S Plus as well, so this is a third phone, so you wouldn't need to do the complete.
That's right. Thing. Okay, so this is the high end iPhone next,
unless something changes. Yeah.
Yeah. The rumor again. Like Samsung, it's all rumors.
Well, do you remember when Samsung did the Galaxy Edge and people were like, why did you make this phone? And they're like, well, we're testing the market. But the truth is, it's hard to do high yield for a lot of the new technologies. Right.
Well, it isn't now because Samsung's done it. This is that Samsung's been doing it for a few years. They started with the S6. They did it on the S7 and they're going to do it on the S8. Well,
and now there's no more Edge.
Right. They don't even call it Edge. It's just this is their standard screen.
But now they have to make enough screens for them and for Apple.
Well, apparently they figured out how to do that. I ordered. I can't wait. I'll get it on the 21st. The new S8 Plus it doesn't go all the way around like the S7 did, but it's
nice. It really trying out the S8. It really changed my mind about the idea, because it's not so much that it's a curved screen, but as it's the only way to have absolutely no lines on the left and the right whatsoever. And it's oddly soothing and pleasant to have. Soothing. You know, I didn't think positively or negatively about the idea of okay, fine, no bezel, whatever. But it's really really quite slick. So I'm really keen to see what Apple has to do with it. You also notice that when Samsung introduced it as the Edge phone, they really was we are declaring that this phone with a curved screen is a freak of nature. We are not suggesting that it is a real phone. But they also said, well, and then look, if you've got it just sitting on the table, the edges also are active OLED. So
yeah,
we'll be
that
able
was
to
dopey.
Show you
I turned
texting.
That off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so now nice now they realize that it's enough. Exactly. We play with it. People didn't like it. It was a gimmick. So now it's just there to give you the visual effect. But again, that's when you're getting $600, $700, $800, $900 for a phone. People really do respond to, oh my God, that is so cool. That's I keep calling it the Tiffany or the Cartier effect, where now every major manufacturer, Apple, Samsung, everybody else, they're trying to make, again, the Cartier jewelry, the Cartier cigarette box or the Cartier compact that in the 1920s and 30s would cost thousands of dollars, and you just enjoy taking it out of your pocket or your purse and putting it on your dresser at the end of the day and taking it off at the beginning of the next day.
They kind of got the world ready for it. The iPhone 7 is curvy. The screen doesn't go across the bezel, but it's still got the curviness.
It disappears, right?
It'd make a logic. It's precursor. It's like John the Baptist. It's preparing
headless?
Us for he who is to come.
Oh,
not
if you go back to the
sorry.
iPod Touch.
I'm not talking about the Marvel universe here. I did.
Excuse me,
John.
What were you one of those families, one of those kids that like went to church, but they're just like went to Friendly's, got an ice cream or something, and then like on the way back grabbed a missalette so that we could prove your mom you went.
I went, Mom. See, pay no attention to the ice cream breath.
John the Baptist is not a Marvel character. Lost his head. That was the whole thing. Okay, whatever.
Here is my clips video. And you'll note it's somewhat influenced by BBC's Planet Earth 2, which I've been binge-watching.
Here you see Felis domesticus. The common household cat. A seemingly quiet beast, but when he sees a bird, beware.
I like that. Couldn't have done it without clips.
Do you have mine there, Leo, from the review?
No, let me see. I do, yeah.
Mine is sillier.
Yeah, yeah. Yours is even better? All right, let's see here.
No, it's sillier. It's by no means
is this
better.
The Instagram one? Because it looks it looks blank. I don't know why that is. Let me see if I can play it. Here we go.
Don't call Hulk Bruce. Meanwhile, Osh.
Hulk's reaching into... I like that because you took real action and you cartoonized it. Smash.
That's the Hans Zimmer track, by the way.
Oh, I like it. It's good. I just was using a little Aaron Copland I have lying around.
Nice.
Copland,
you have
Zimmer.
To download it. If you're trying to use Apple Music, the one tip is you have to download the track in Apple Music first or it won't appear there.
If oh.
You're streaming it. It's not
that's why I didn't
on your device.
See,
you have to hit the little download button.
This is why we love iMore because, I mean, when a new thing comes out like this, you guys work so hard.
Fail repeatedly so that you don't have to.
Yeah, I failed. We tried to show it on iOS today, and I'm embarrassed to say, you know, I said things like, well, I don't see how you can edit this text. So this is nice. This is really the article to read if you want to start playing with clips. 97 million only OLED screens. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? What a number that is.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And that's a rumor. That's not for sure, but it does kind of follow on a previous.
Every phone they sell will have one, Leo.
Really? Right, exactly. So that's the question. Is it going to be...
No, sorry. Every iPhone 8 they sell will have... Every phone with an OLED screen will have an OLED screen. I was trying to be...
Well, you really narrowed that
down. Incredible logic there.
All tautologies are tautologies.
Do we think there'll be two sizes and three phones?
That's the rumor. The rumor is there'll be a conventional iPhone 7 and 7S for people who just want a new phone. Like they had a 6S or they had a 6 and they're just ready to upgrade. And they don't want anything edgy or, like, you know, expensive. And then they'll, because a lot of the new technology they're putting in this, including like distance charging if it works, or a lot of the other stuff is expensive, you can't just make the new iPhone much more expensive again. They're going to have this sitting on top for people who are willing to pay a premium to get sort of tomorrow's or next year's iPhone today.
Well, and I definitely think that there's a lot of constraints that we see with phone production that is very much based on, well, we can't afford to, you know, we've got to fit it inside some bucket. So I think I can. As a user, I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing what happens when the engineers aren't quite as constrained over price, maybe just size.
This is kind of odd. I don't know exactly how this will play out. I've not seen this happen before, but apparently Apple has partnered with Saturday Night Live for a humorous commercial starring cast members from the show. Apparently SNL had done a similar deal with Verizon earlier. It's unclear what Apple's plans are for its advertisement, according to 9to5 Mac. Today's report claims that the Verizon and Apple ads will be different, but specifics are unclear.
Can it please be spicy? Can it please be, you bought a new MacBook and everybody was happy and nobody was sad? Can it be, Kathy?
It's kind of ironic because, you know, Saturday Night Live is famous for its fake ads. Now it's going to do real fake ads or fake real ads or real ads.
Come on, I got to get my brain... It's a real fake ad, or is it a fake real ad?
So that's smart of Apple. I mean, that's hip, right? Or is it? Maybe it's hip for me because I'm old. I don't know. Is Saturday Night Live hip with the young people?
Well, I think they've had a renaissance since Trump was elected. So they've definitely the last big push was Palin. So now that Trump is giving them a new run for it.
So are these ads only going to appear on Saturday Night Live? Will they appear elsewhere?
Should they get their own Apple Music show?
Yeah. The cost of a 30-second ad in Saturday Night Live, thanks to its new Trump bump ratings, 30 seconds, $110,000.
Repatriation money, Leo. Yeah. Trump is actually going to be paying for the ads that go on the show.
That's
that makes
up from $76,900. So the show makes about $115 million in advertising revenue each year. This is from Variety. You could buy an ad on Saturday Night Live for a mere $110,000. Should we?
Yep.
Well, it depends. Oftentimes your ad can come right after a sketch that people turned off 3 minutes into because
you never know, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they're obviously Saturday Night Live. Every time they don't do something live, it's almost always wonderful. So it's like they're good at the film stuff. You saw that their take on the Pepsi on the Kylie Jenner Pepsi ad became like news because
wasn't that awesome?
But it wasn't only funny, but it was also just perfectly done, perfectly acted, and also it gave the actors the ability to actually like make eye contact with each other and where their eyes are supposed to go instead of
reading the prompter
instead of the classic Saturday Night Live. Well, Daphne, I don't know if you're ever going to make the team that way.
It's not the first time they've done ads. David Spade did an ad for 1-800-COLLECT in the mid-90s. Oh, no, wait a minute. That wasn't on Saturday Night Live.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Well, yeah, cast members have done ads.
Podcasting.
Interesting. Yeah, when I see Audible ads on Saturday Night Live, then I'll know.
Alec Baldwin comes out in costume. Audible.
Audible. Audible. Audible. If you used an iPhone and social media before 2013, you may be due a tiny payout, according to ZDNet. What?
What are you going to do with your 11 cents?
Yeah, exactly.
Eight social media firms, including Twitter and Instagram, have agreed to pay $5.3 million to settle a lawsuit over their use of Apple's Find My Friends feature in iOS. Their apps used Apple's Find Friends and didn't tell users the contact list would be uploaded to the company's servers. Instagram, Foursquare, Kick, Gowalla, Food Spotting, Yelp, Twitter, and Path. I used all of those.
Contact the use. All of them.
I used all of them. So I'm going to get 44 cents? Apple and LinkedIn are the only remaining defendants among the 18 firms originally accused of the privacy violation. Everybody else settled out. Given the number of people who downloaded these apps, it's likely the settlement will result in a very small payment for each individual. So look for that postcard. Have you ever gotten those postcards?
I used it to pay for our Saturday Night Live ad.
You ever get those postcards that say, hey, we won our class action lawsuit and you're entitled to a free pop
$2
chip
if you send them a $5 self-addressed stamped envelope.
It's always useless. Like, mm-hmm. I got like a couple of bags of pop chips for free.
I don't even bother. It's not, to me, it's like,
I don't bother. Never do. Never do. So the other shoe's dropped. Remember we mentioned that Jonathan Zdarsky, the fabulous security researcher, was snapped up by Apple to be on their security team. You might wonder, though, what happened to Zdarsky's app? Well, the little flocker has been purchased. I tried Little Flocker, but like Little Snitch, it got so busy, you know. You had to approve so many things that I just, you know, I took it off. But I think what will happen, you know, a very good company bought it, F-Secure. We've talked to Mikko Hoponen, who's their head of security there. They're really credible. They've been around for a very long time. They're going to build it into a new product, I presume for the Mac, called X-Fence. Little Flocker monitored apps that attempted to access confidential files and system resources. So in doing that would block, for instance, ransomware and would also protect your privacy. But you keep getting these pop-ups. Here's one. Microsoft Word. Little Flocker detected an attempt to read the following file. And then you could deny or allow it. And just like Little Snitch, you could say, do it this time until I quit, until I restart, or forever. And basically, I think the problem with programs like this, you get inundated with these announcements. At some point, you go, forever, allow. Right. However,
dialogue fatigue.
Yeah, dialogue fatigue. However, if, you know, I still recommend Little Snitch if you're worried, and Little Flocker. And I'd be very interested to see how they package this in a more consumer-friendly way at F-Secure. So look for Z-Fence. I don't know when they're going to release that. I think we can wrap it up and get your picks of the week. I don't see anything else of import here.
Not a great week.
Well, good enough.
You're gonna stay on the air until that Mac comes out. That's it. It's going to filibuster.
Have you seen this? This is a great new YouTube channel, the unofficial Apple hard drive subtitled God Help My Hard Drive. I mean, unofficial Apple archive, God Help My Hard Drive. It is loaded, if you're an Apple fan, as I'm sure you all are, with old Apple ads, videos. This is really a treasure trove.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs talking about the Blue Box story, Apple's Power Mac commercial. Which one should we? There's so many good ones here. I don't know where to start. Do you have a favorite you'd like to see again?
Here's to the crazy ones.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun to see again. Let me see if that's here. You want to watch it? Oh, you know what? This is the best. So there's a Richard Dreyfuss version, which is the one that aired on TV. But famously, Steve Jobs went into the voice booth to record it originally. So this is Here's to the Crazy Ones with Mr. Jobs doing the narration.
Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits. The rebels. The troublemakers. The round pegs in the square holes. The ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius.
Yeah. This is all a great mission statement.
Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
It's hard not to get chills when you see that, right?
Yeah, that's just again a brilliant mission statement, and one that I hope that we keep seeing over and over again. If you go, if you do a get info on the text edit and look at the sample document.
Yeah.
The text of that, the opening text of that is actually part of the icon. That's how important
so cool.
Is or was.
Yeah, I wonder how much that I would love at some time to see how much they paid to license all those, you know, Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein. That must have been a hugely expensive commercial for the licenses.
Yeah, that must have been a hugely expensive campaign, because remember, they also reproduced, they had a series of posters that were just brilliant, where they obviously they had to get rights to all these classic photos to put them on billboards, to give them away. There was a these agreements can be really draconian, so I'm not surprised. There was a party at Macworld Expo while this campaign was going, and I think it was Dance Development who did used to do Retrospect. They printed a series of like fake. the theme of the party was Drink Different, and so they had like they made a whole series of like Drink Different posters in that style with like famous celebrities like with alcohol, and I kept my eye on this. It was just decorations for the party, and I kept my eye on this Marilyn Monroe, beautiful photo of Marilyn Monroe just like sipping champagne, like that's going home with me. Yeah. I don't care if it costs me my career. That poster's going home with me. Yeah. And so after hinting at it and then suggesting it and just buttering everybody up I could possibly, I was still we had to license all those photos, and part of that is that the deal is not complete until we send them video of us cutting up these posters into tiny, tiny bits.
Wow. Yeah.
So it probably cost Apple a lot to get that, get those rights.
Oh yeah. You can't use those without paying the estate.
You pay them, but not only that, but they weren't asking for something little. They were saying, we want the right to reproduce. We want the right to use them in advertising. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just like, guess what? At the agency, pizza for everybody. And then a check for everybody for $500,000, and then I am out of here for this deal.
But maybe one of the great, certainly top 10 ads of all time. And by the way, not the only Apple on that ad on that list, including 1984. And actually, if you go to this YouTube channel, there's a lot of classics, some really great stuff. I want to watch them all because I remember them all. The unofficial Apple archive, God help my hard drive, it's on YouTube. Let's take a break. And we'll come back with your picks of the week. Our show today brought to you by.
Sorry, I was going to say, did you see the they're suing Swatch or one of the companies for click different, using a variation of the campaign.
Oh, I didn't see that
in their watch commercials.
So that's interesting. Can you own the word different?
Tick. I think it was tick different or talk different.
Oh, so close,
it was,
right?
It was this morning. Yeah. Apologies for interrupting.
Apple, of course. There it is. Swatch's provocative. Yeah. Tick Different campaign has riled Apple up. God, I don't know. Could you really win a suit in that?
Said differently.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's ungrammatical. We know that.
Yeah, but that also actually makes Apple's case a little bit stronger, saying that this is ungrammatical. This was a flair that we added. It'll end with somebody saying, "How much do we write? How big a check do we write to make this go away? Come on."
Apparently, Apple first went to the Swiss Federal Institute of Intellectual Property, or SFIP.
But wouldn't you?
And that didn't work. So now they've gone to the Swiss Federal Administrative Court. Swatch. So in its defense, Swatch says the similarity is purely coincidental and a nod to the slogan "Always different, always new," which they used in the 1980s. That's an interesting.
And we're ending net neutrality, so the consumers are no longer confused by privacy policies.
Right. According to a Swiss publication Watson, Apple has to prove its claim by showing the court that more than 50% of local consumers associate Think Different with the Apple brand. You know, they haven't used Think Different in 15 years. So that might be a little tricksy. Interesting. UK Intellectual Property Office denied Apple rights to the name iWatch after Swatch complained it was too similar to its iSwatch trademark.
That's a long time to get revenge. They've been cooking this up for a while.
Apple believes that revenge is a dish best served cold. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. If you're in the market for a new house, or you have a house and maybe thinking about refiing, you can't really, I don't know, maybe some of you can write a check for a new house, but most of us have to get a mortgage. Our house, took us a month to get the mortgage. We thought, oh, this will, you know, how long could this take? We had a vacation planned. We were faxing documents from a cruise ship because it took so long. That's before Rocket Mortgage came along. Rocket Mortgage is from Quicken Loans, one of the best lenders ever. These guys are great, and you know, you don't have to take my word for it. Look at all those J.D. Power Customer Satisfaction Awards. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, you want to work with someone you can trust, someone who's got your best interests in mind, and that's Quicken Loans. And they've made, and I'll tell you one reason we know they have your best interest in mind, because they've got something for us geeks. An entirely online mortgage approval process. They call it Rocket Mortgage. It's friction-free. It's fast. It lifts the burden of getting a home loan. You can even, everything's online, including, by the way, submitting the paperwork you need, whether it's pay stubs or bank statements, just a touch of a button. You can adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time, so it's flexible, and it's fast. You'll get approved. Not in months, not in weeks, not even in days, in minutes for the home loan that's right for you. So whether you're refinancing or buying a house, skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online with Rocket Mortgage. It's at quickenloans.com/MacBreak. quickenloans.com/MacBreak. They're going to give you extra special treatment. Oh, you're a MacBreak Weekly listener. Yeah, come right in. We love you guys. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. quickenloans.com/MacBreak. We thank them for making MacBreak Weekly possible. Andy Yannacco, let's kick things off with your pick of the week.
I got a quick one, but a good one. We were talking last week about how I use my iPad and how much I like it, even above my MacBook, because it's so easy just to focus on. I just need the big window pane for the stuff I'm working on, and the little window pane for the fact checking. And so I've been using different window managers, but I recently switched to one called Magnet, specifically because after taking another look at these things, it does a really, really good job of letting me approximate that kind of setup where I don't want to look at this screen as though it's a collection of windows, even if it's a collection of nicely tiled windows. I really want to see it as a case of here is the main thing I want to be looking at, and here is a supplemental thing that I just want to keep an eye on. They recently it's amazing how much something can be improved with a simple change. They added support for thirds, which for me was what cracked it for me. That change just came a few weeks ago. So it's really, really easy for me to set up a two-thirds, one-third display, and it works just by dragging Windows into hot corners of the screen or hot sections. Just by grabbing the title bar and dragging it to the edge, it becomes half the size of the screen. By dragging it to the bottom, it becomes a third that's in the middle of the screen. It just becomes second nature that this is how I want my desktops laid out, and this is what I want to do that with that window. On top of all that, it's only 99 cents. I know how your eyeballs should roll when someone says, "Oh, it's on sale for 99 cents," because oftentimes things are on sale for like 18 months for 99 cents or whatever. But I did pay full price for it, and now I was chagrined to find that it is actually 99 cents now. So for a buck, download it, take a look at it. It's definitely worth the wait. It has made my MacBook a lot more productive.
Nice. Yeah. Isn't it funny? The early days of windowing, there was this massive battle. I mean, it was a fight, a flame war between people who supported that kind of window style, which they called tiling because they're like tiles, and overlapping windows. And the overlapping windows won. Maybe not forever, right? We're going back to tiling.
But also remember the first version of Windows had a tiling system because they knew that Apple was going to be steamed, that they were creating a windowed graphical user. So their first step was, we're going to do a tiled version so that we can say, oh, no, our windows don't overlap.
Shouldn't consider so. Overlapping is much more processor intensive. Tiling is a lot easier to do.
You got to do that calculation with every single scroll. Here's the part that's hidden. Here's the part that
you got to have a region that's displayed and not displayed. Plus, if people start dragging windows, that's a nightmare. So it is always easier to do a tiling interface programming wise. Mr. Alex Lindsay, what do you got for us?
So over the weekend I'm constantly kind of going through, and I had someone suggested that I look at the Masters. And the
Masters Golf Tournament?
Apple TV.
Oh.
Well, the iOS and Apple TV app, and they're amazing.
What are they?
You know, basically whether you're watching on iOS or Apple TV, that basically gives you a lot of data. So you can watch it full screen if you're watching. You're able to watch the event live. So you can watch the golf live if you want to, but you can also see replays. There's all kinds of video. It breaks it out. You can double click on it and it opens up and it shows you stats, like especially on the Apple TV, it shows you stats as well as what you're doing live, because you don't really need to see it the whole, and I think that eventually if we ever get a 4K, version of the Apple TV or whatever, somewhere down, somewhere in 2018 with the Mac Pro, you can see where you could have a lot of heads up, data. And even at 1080p, it's very compelling. You can still see what you need to see in a quarter screen and then see a whole bunch of other things as well. So I think that one of the things I think is interesting is that this is the first time I've really seen an app do something where I'd rather watch the app than the TV. So a lot of times these apps have been great about sending us content.
Golf.
Right. There's plenty of time to watch both.
And I will say that MLB does a pretty good job of baseball
also,
as well.
Also, plenty of time to watch both.
But I think that there is I think that these are pointing towards something that's coming, which are these kind of these displays where we're going to get to see a lot more information than a full screen, than your just basic full screen. Yeah. I'm just going to watch it passively. I'm going to get a lot of data. I think what we're going to see is the next step of this is more interaction, where people are actually able to type things in and so on and so forth. So I think it's just a really good example of the future of a lot of sporting events, being able to get a lot more information than what you necessarily want to watch on broadcast. So they can still give you the feed that you're going to watch, but they can also send you all that information that you only get to see when they do lower thirds or they cut to the full screen. And all of that, I think, is going to be something that, a lot of people get into over time. So anyway, nice. It's an interesting app to check out to, see what I think is probably, for a lot of different coverage. Probably the future of using up how you use up 4K without actually using 4K source material.
Of course, now that the Masters is over,
lots of replays there.
There's still stuff. Okay.
Yeah. You can see a lot of replays. You can't see the live, but obviously, you can definitely see a lot of the.
There's nothing live.
But I imagine we'll see more of this from as those things pop up again.
Cool. Mr. Rene Ritchie, iMore.com. We already know what you're going to plug.
Yeah, so totally self-serving, I apologize, but it's been a lot of fun to work on, and MacBreak is like where I can share some of the inside baseball stories behind this. So a couple of years ago at WWDC, I met a gentleman named Chris Harris, who had then worked for the company that made a lot of the BBC-related apps. And he had just made Wonders of the Universe, which was a gorgeous, I think, award-winning app at the time. And if you've never met Chris, he is like Tigger if Tigger drank a lot of Jolt Cola.
Oh, dear.
I don't believe he sleeps. And he's very, very British, very, very proper, but incredibly bright, incredibly creative. He was doing all sorts of location-based apps before they became mainstream. Just really smart guy. We continued the conversation at OOL and at WWDC this year. And finally, we got serious about it. And he built an entirely new iPhone and iPad app for us, an iOS app for us. And yes, it is beautifully yellow. So I'm going to tap on this. And it doesn't have all the features of the old app yet because it's a brand new engine. Everything about it is new. It's built on the TapJet technology that he uses for a lot of different types of apps. But it has featured stories. It has all the different categories that iMore is now covering. If I tap on this, you get all the different guides, which have been really popular because there's so much confusion as to what to buy and when to buy it. And it has, all the help articles. And we're adding features all the time. So we have a very aggressive – let me pull this back a bit so you can see – a very aggressive update schedule for this. But it's just – I like it because it's very liquid. It just – he formats things so nicely and they flow so nicely and they pop up and move around so nicely. So you can read all the articles there. Some people have been – a little bit confused because they see highlights. If there's a button underneath that says see everything, and you can just tap that and get everything in that category. So the main pages are more just the latest from each of the categories. But you tap see all and you'll see everything. And you can tweak the size of the fonts and everything. You just need to read bigger. So we're super happy. And this is iPhone and iPad available now in the App Store. If you're using the old version, it's an update to that app. So you don't have to go find anything new. It'll just update for you in place. And we're all super, super excited about it.
Very nice.
Of the big next moves.
Read more about it at iMore.com. Listen to their podcasts, too, including Apple Talk. Oh, Renee's in them. What?
I should mention this because it confused people. We switched. We're moving a few things around, and we changed the name of Apple Talk because Michael Gartenberg and myself, and we wanted to talk about more than just Apple. So the name of the show now, it's again, the feed is the same, so it surprised some people, is Next 10 Words, which is okay. Obviously another West Wing reference.
Fair enough.
Totally guilty of that.
Oh, well, what's the reference?
There, and this, so there, in the debates, Bartlett comes out, and the whole show, they were worried about what the 10-word answer was going to be. Your taxes are too high. I'm going to lower them. And then the guy finally says it, and Bartlett says, I'll tell you what it is. That's the 10-word answer. That's the tip of the sword. But life is seldom a 10-word answer. What are your next 10 words? What are the 10 words after that? I've been president of the United States for a long time, and seldom are things nuanced. And when it are, it usually involves a body count. If you can give me an answer, I'll drop out right now. These are the – what we're trying to go below the sound – sorry, more than the sound.
That is a great quote.
Renee, is that by any chance one of your favorite West Wing quotes of all time? Because I didn't see you Saturday Night Living to a cue card or anything.
That was
my brain records nothing. So anyway, the first guest is Nilay Patel from The Verge, and we talk about the Apple Mac
great.
Pro announcements. And Michael has some interesting guests. He had last week. He had Lisa Hope King from Cheddar TV on, and just he's picking some really interesting.
Nice. Folks. Great. Well, you find all the podcasts at iMore in the under the hamburger menu at the bottom there, podcasts, and there's
new yellow hamburger menu.
New yellow hamburger menu. Go check it out. Get excited.
Cheeseburger menu.
It's a cheeseburger. You're right. Or poutine burger.
Poutine burger.
With mustard. If you want more Andy Iannacco, there's places you can go. There's treatments for that. Go to CW.
We'll tell you where to go.
we'll tell you where you can go. CWOB.com and, of course, the Chicago Sun-Times, where he's a regular contributor in the technology section. What are you working on these days?
Actually doing a lot of 360 video stuff. I've been starting to be semi-regular on Boston WGBH Public Radio.
Oh, good.
Talk about technology. So we're going to be doing three. We're going to, if things go well and the Boston Public Library's Wi-Fi is up to the task, I'm going to be doing full 360-degree streaming video on YouTube or Facebook.
Wow.
during the half hour that I'll be on the show. So
that's great.
Looking forward to that.
Is WGBH in the Boston Public Library? Why aren't you at their studios?
Oh, my goodness. I have to set my own conversational shot clock saying you're not allowed to talk for 30 minutes about this. There are two halves of the Boston Public Library, the gorgeous jewel box that was built in 1893, and then the addition, the Johnson Building, that was added in 1970, that was done in brutalist style. which made it, which basically, if you go to that section of the library, it looked like the place that you would go to beg for your the life of your dissident father who disappeared after saying something unpleasant about the commissar. That's how.
Wow.
But then they finally, like a few years ago, totally reinvented it, totally redesigned it, opened it up. And one of the things they did was they turned like the whole first floor into sort of like an Apple store where anybody can walk in. There's great Wi-Fi. There's a big cafe. And WGBH decided, well, why don't we just actually build a studio there? So it's one of their studios. It's not like their main thing. But it means that if you're coming in for lunch or whatever, you might be watching and listening to a bunch of people talking about issues of the day any time of the day or night. So it's really they turned from a place that I would never walk into to a place where it's almost. Okay, if I'm heading on Boylston Street from that direction, I will not like walk past the Johnson Building to enter via the cool jewel box entrance. I will now actually enter through the Johnson Building because that new cafe has really good cookies and stuff.
And you kept it under 30. That's good. Nice job. Alex Lindsay, as always, the best place to find out what Alex is up to is your Twitter account, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he didn't shave for his photo for that one. That's how you know
my. I think my sister took it. My sister took it when we were in the backyard having a barbecue. I think, and
that's his grizzled field reporter photo they use for the Pulitzers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the manly Alex Lindsay. Alex Lindsay. What does Alex Lindsay say? Well, you'll find out at Alex Lindsay. Thank you all for being here. We do Mac Break Weekly every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific. That would be about 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1800 UTC, give or take. Stop by, join us in the chat room, be part of the fun. If you want, live, you can even join us in the studio if you email tickets at twit.tv. But if you can't do that, you can always go and get on-demand versions, not only at our of everything we do, not only at our website, in this case, twit.tv/MBW. But also wherever you subscribe to your favorite shows on the big bad internet. I'm Leo Laporte. It's great to have you. Come back again. Let's do this all again. But for now, it's back to work because break time is over. Oh.